B-Pod Studios.
From the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street, sponsored by Bud Light, Zolak, and Bertrand, it's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Time hour, Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market booth at Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. We are with Bud Light today, and now we are with Judd Surratt as he joins us. We'll call this the Volkswagen dealer's expert hot seat is what we'll call this. You're in the hot seat, Judd.
Ooh.
Voice of the Boston Bruins with us. Hey, what's going on?
Like to be cranking out a Bud Light to start this day.
Oh, a little bit.
I'll get you loose. I'll get you going.
Hey, you got to stretch out.
We'll start in about another half hour.
8 o'clock.
Hey, this is what you lift all those weights in the off-season for, huh, buddy?
You got it, Parcells. Hey, let's go.
Good luck. Have a great call.
All right, looking forward to it.
How you know what? Just on a personal note, how excited are you for this as a broadcaster? I mean, for players, it's huge, but for you and your career, this has got to be a big day.
So incredibly fortunate. You know, to be able to have an opportunity just to work here in Boston, to be able to do games for the Boston Bruins, to have a chance to work with Bob Beers and to work with this team that has a chance to achieve some history, to win another Stanley Cup, to pull it off for the second time since 2011. It's incredible. I am so fortunate.
Did you ever think it would happen this quickly as far as calling the games for the Bees?
How about
I remember
this?
Your first day with Felger and Maz, and you said, pick a team, like, what are the chances? You said, why not? You know, Stanley Cup.
Well, they had a great core.
They had a great year.
And they had a great defense. They had a goaltender who had won a Vezina trophy in the past, who was a part of a Stanley Cup winning team as a backup to Tim Thomas at that point. And I think the whole idea is if you look at the teams that have won cups or won multiple cups, it's been about a great group of core players. I was fortunate enough to be around the Blackhawks and that group with Taves and Kane, Keith, Seabrook, Jalmerson, Crawford, and then look at the core that you have here. I don't think that there's any mistake that the reason that they're back in the Cup Final again, and they were there in 2013, couldn't pull it off, obviously, against the Blackhawks, but that's about Chara, Bergeron, Marchand, Krejci, the list goes on and on. And it's because of that core that you have another opportunity to win. And for Don Sweeney, remember, I think what the Bruins have been able to do, and they've done it very quickly, is to turn things around and to bring a lot more young skill and mesh that in with that leadership group, that if you're able to do that, you're going to vie for a Stanley Cup title, and that's what we're going to see here tonight.
What do you make of the way the conference final shook down and now the Cup final with the top seeds being out? What does it mean to you in terms of how the league was during the regular season? Do you think the top seeds weren't quite as good as we thought they were, or these other teams are just that much better? Is it about the parity? What is it? I mean, what stands out to you with how things shook out in this postseason?
Well, Hardy, I think so. If you look, and Bruce Cassidy actually just referenced this in his pregame media conference, that if you look at the Bruins, the Carolina Hurricanes, the St. Louis Blues, these were some of the hottest teams from January to the end of the regular season. Carolina, overall, they only finished with four fewer wins, three fewer regulation or overtime wins than the Bruins. And for the St. Louis Blues, a lot of people expected that the Blues would be in this spot. But during the first half of the season, I mean, they ran the car into the ditch, spilled the drink, turned over the car, and then eventually got things back in order, and they went on a terrific run. They needed the goaltender to do it. Jordan Binnington did not get his first start until January 7th. But if he doesn't come up and get an immediate response, I don't know if the Blues are making the playoffs. So, you know, I think that what we're seeing here in the playoffs are the teams that have gotten hot in the second half are the teams that have vied for a title. And I also think, now I know a lot of people, when they look at the Carolina matchup, they think, oh, Carolina had no business being in that matchup in the conference final. But I also think the Bruins caught them at the perfect time. I think the Bruins started to play some of their best hockey. And I think, as Rod Brind'Amour admitted later in the series, that Carolina was mentally fatigued and the Bruins took advantage of it. I think it would have been different had the Bruins met Carolina in the first round. I still think the Bruins would have prevailed, but not in the same way that we saw them in the third round.
We've talked about the importance of the power play and how important it's been to the Bruins to this point. How does that factor into this series? And, you know, how does the officiating sort of factor into that in terms of the chances that each team will get at this point in the year?
Well, the officiating is going to be interesting. So your referees for tonight, if you're following, it's Kelly Sutherland and Steve Kozari. These guys have called it fairly tight. They called a lot of roughing penalties throughout the playoffs here. They have tried to minimize the stick work that each team has been able to do.
That benefits the Bruins, right? A tighter game called? I mean, if they're going to lean on it, you keep hearing they're heavy.
The Bruins should want the chances, I think.
But, you know, the other thing that's most interesting is, so these two teams, and Peter DeBoer mentioned this, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, the two heaviest teams that were in the playoffs are the two teams that are in the final. Yep. These are also the two most disciplined teams here in the playoffs. Just by an inch, St. Louis is in front of the Bruins. They have taken the two fewest penalties or the fewest amount as a team during the playoffs. But to your point, I think special teams is going to matter. You're not going to get that many opportunities. You have to take advantage. If you look at the numbers, the Bruins should have a substantive advantage, not only on the power play, but the penalty kill has gone under the radar. They've started to get some traction here. So I don't know how many chances the Bruins are going to get, but they have to cash in.
We're talking with Jed Surratt, voice of the Boston Bruins. He's with us. A big topic and an obvious topic has been the rest and the time off. You know, do you think it matters?
We call it rest versus rust is what we – I don't know if you've heard this phrase.
Big slogan.
Tossed around a little bit.
I like it.
Jed.
I like it.
Is it rest or is it rust? Huh?
I think both teams are going to be dealing with it, even for the St. Louis Blues. So it's 5 days off completely between games. That's the equivalent of the bye week around the National Hockey League. And every team that comes off the bye week, at least for a period, maybe half a period and a half, they're going to deal with some rhythm and timing issues. But I think the biggest difference is going to be, and I've had a conversation with a few former players about this, is how do you get ramped up again emotionally and get to that point mentally to have that edge that's allowed you to get to that point? I think that might take a little bit longer. But the other thing that bears watching here tonight, because there's going to be extra energy and there's going to be some extra rust for both of these teams, how does that play out early in the game, especially in the first period? The Bruins have done a phenomenal job of starting on time. In fact, throughout the playoffs, they have only trailed once after the first period. Only once. That's incredible. But both of these teams have often gotten out to quick starts, especially St. Louis here in that last round. They were scoring a lot of quick goals.
Quickly, do you buy the Marchand rest day, maintenance day, based on potentially what could have happened in the controlled scrimmage?
It's the playoffs, so I have no idea. I'm sure at this point, so I think every player from both teams is dealing with something.
Is the skate day going to make that guy different?
No, it's not going to matter. Right. I mean, he's been practicing all year long to get to this point. Same for David Krejci, who's coming off the illness. He had a chance to practice. I really don't think it's going to matter. I mean, we're talking about the biggest stage, the brightest lights, playing for a Stanley Cup title. These guys have been there. They've done that.
If you're taking the top three players offensively, most skilled guys in this series, in order, top three guys, who are they? Both teams.
Top three. Now, we're talking just pure skill?
Yeah, just pure skill.
Yeah.
Like, if you got to go on the street and play with these three guys, and you want them on your team. Oh, that'd have to be both a good two-way player.
Because this goes back to the Mads question. Okay, who's the best overall defenseman in the series?
You're playing kickball outside Judd.
Was that his question?
Oh, yeah.
Did he ask you that?
He threw that out to a couple of different people.
Well, he's worried about
the reason why is because he wants him to say McAvoy. He wants him to say Charlie McAvoy is the best player in the series.
Well, McAvoy, I think, is the best overall defenseman. Overall, most complete defenseman.
But that wasn't your question.
But here's the thing, though.
Pick the top three offensive players.
But it's what makes that skill go. It's not just the fact that some guy can really shoot the puck or he's a terrific skater or he's a fabulous passer. It's what puts that together. That's what I think matters most. Like, if you're asking me not necessarily who's the most skilled player, but who is the most complete player?
No.
Who would you like to have?
No. Most offensive skilled guys in the series.
David Pastrnak's the first. As far as a high skill player, Pastrnak is like the first guy that I would think about.
Okay.
Probably Vladimir Tarasenko would be second.
Okay.
Because of his high skill, you know, I think.
It's a real conversation for number three.
It's hard to say. I think Patrice Bergeron's skill goes wildly under the radar because everybody thinks of him as a guy who's won four Selkies. He's going to win a fifth.
Because of the two-way. Yeah.
But you have to remember that early in his career, he was a phenomenal goal scorer. His ability to shoot pucks, to get it off quickly, to pass, go tape to tape. He's got a fabulously accurate shot in addition to being hard.
Yeah.
I think Bergeron would be my third
guy. It's sort of fun, though, isn't it? Because I think I say three. No, I say three because I think a lot of people
He's a really skilled player. Don't get me wrong.
Pastrnak and Tarasenko just as offensive guys, skilled players at the top. And then three, there's kind of a debate there.
Yeah. Who did you guys name?
We haven't done it yet. That's why I put you on the spot to do it first.
I want to take your answers.
You do?
Yeah.
No, I want Marshall.
Or you studied Bergeron.
I was the last guy you wanted to copy off of on the test.
If I'm starting a team, I'm taking Bergeron. If you're asking me to name just like the raw skill of the offense, I'm like, give me Marshall with the puck and just a tiny bit of space. Actually, you don't even need the space. Just give me Marshall with the puck and give him to me off of the goalie's glove side. Give me over there kind of lurking right there. Get him the puck. I'll take him in that spot, and I'll take him in a lot of different spots around the goal.
I could have gone all though. Three with Marshy in that group, but I think it's how hard he has worked to become such a great skill player, and he'll try things a lot of guys will not.
This is something that I think you'll have a better knowledge of than we do. But factoring in all four lines, I think the Bruins, forward-wise, have a slight edge over St. Louis in this series.
I think the big edge, whether it's at forward or on defense, I think the Bruins are a quicker team, and they have to be able to exploit that. Can the St. Louis Blues, can they up their tempo? Yeah. I think the one team that played with a little bit more tempo that they faced in an earlier round was the Dallas Stars. They can skate a little bit. It took them seven games to go through and deep into an overtime game in Game 7 in order for Patrick Maroon to decide that one. But I think for the Bruins, and this is a conversation that Bruce Cassidy is going to talk about tonight on the pregame show, can the Bruins push the pace and the tempo? It's not just about the way that you skate, but it's the way that you move the puck. Can the Blues keep up? Because we know that the Bruins can withstand some of the punishment. Can the Blues, can St. Louis stand up to the pace?
You're going to get that interview in a can.
It's in.
Yeah, nice. See, that's good. You could tease that. It makes you look
smarter.
You
know what's coming up.
I'm going to use that for the Belichick stuff moving forward. That's good. I liked how you did that. Guys got it. Massive advantage goalie, though, right? And this, not to disrespect.
But it goes back to how they're playing.
Binnington's numbers have been better because of the guys playing in front of them.
I do think experience will matter. I think that because a guy like Tuukka Rask has been to this point, and obviously the pressure is going to be the biggest, that he will maybe have an understanding, a much better understanding than Craig Binnington, how to manage it. I think for Binnington, part of his struggle to get to this level was to be able to just focus on his game. There really wasn't a question about his skill level, even though he wasn't a first-round pick. A lot of people, they liked his athleticism. They liked his glove. You know, they liked the fact that he was very quiet in that. I think that he needed to put it together up here, upstairs, and that 6 inches between his ears, he was finally able to do that. But we have seen performances in the past from rookie goaltenders that you didn't expect. Cam Ward is the guy that comes to mind that was able to win a Stanley Cup. He didn't even, you know, so the year that Ward won it with Carolina, he did not even start the playoffs with Carolina, but ultimately won it.
And then the Bruins develop him for a year, last year. And then he goes back to the Blues, and here they are facing him, in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's weird.
When it comes down to the goalie situation, I think you factor in as much as you do with the other teams we were talking about in the second half. How are these guys been playing in the second half? And for Binnington, it's all about the second half, obviously, from when he got the spot, but also how are they playing? If you want to talk about momentum and when a team peaks, is it more important for any position on the ice more than the goaltender?
Well, I think with Craig Binnington, I had a chance to talk with a couple of his former coaches. I also talked to Jay Leach, who had him last year in Providence. But one of his former coaches told me, and this was while he was young and still developing, but if you were able to get to him early, you could kind of soften him up.
Ooh.
So if the Bruins are able to do that, it'll be interesting
in
to see how he responds to that. He hasn't faced a lot of duress. St. Louis has often played with a lead, or they've gotten out in front, and they've played better across the playoffs. I don't want to take away anything from what Binnington has been able to do, but I think it bears watching. If the Bruins get off to the start that they want, how does he respond?
Bit more, yes.
Bit more.
I like that. Okay, there you go.
All right, Judd.
Something to watch for.
Judd, good luck in the call tonight. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, boys. Look forward to it.
Thanks for stopping by.
Love to.
All right.
Judd Surratt, fun, voice of the Bruins. You'll hear him on the call tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub and across the Bruins Radio Network. We'll be back from the Star Market broadcast booth at Boston Sports Grill here on Canal Street with Bud Light coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. It's the Stanley Cup Finals, and we're at the Boston Sports Grill from the Star Market booth, sponsored by Bud Light, Zolak, and Bertrand, on the only place for the local call of the game, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins fire it left to the net. And that'll close out the 82-game regular season, and they now turn their attention to an opening round matchup against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Chip it out in front, fired, they score! Charlie Coyle beats Marchand, shoots, he scores! Great strike, sir. Centers deflected, they score! Jake DeBrusk!
Yes, young guy!
For the second consecutive year, and for the third time in 7 years, the Boston Bruins are going to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs. Near circle, Johansson fires to Blick, and they score! How about a pair from Charlie Coyle? The kid from Wayman ends it in overtime! Here I come, you can't hide. Along the near side, fired, they score! David Pastrnak whistled in a one-timer! Near circle, Pastrnak, one-timer, out in front, they score! The Bruins control over the line. Here's Marchand. Far circle, centers. They score! David Pastrnak!
Hey, what's up, guys?
The Boston Bruins victorious here tonight. 3-0 in Game 6 over the Columbus Blue Jackets. They win the series 4-2, and they are on to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013.
You know, I hear people saying they come into another team's building, well, we got to weather the storm. We want to create the storm. We're not interested in weathering any storm. We want to go out there and let them know we're here to play.
The Department of Player Safety has suspended Charlie McAvoy for one playoff game.
Disappointed that I won't be playing in game one, but that being said, yeah, I have complete faith in this team to go out and, you know, and play our game in game one.
Out of the slot, Camper shoots, he scores! Backhand, they score! They score! Centers it again, they score! Backhand, he scores! Make it 6-0 Bruin. Deflected, Rask the save, rebound, Rask, what a stop! And then he stops a second opportunity from Niederreiter. Out in front, backhand, and Rask the stop! Slot Williams walking down the gut, shoots, and Rask flashed off the glove. Take it away! And the horn sounds. Tuukka Rask closes out the series with another shutout. The Boston Bruins are headed to the Stanley Cup Final for the third time this decade.
We've earned the right to be where we are and to go to the Stanley Cup Final. We've beaten three good teams. You know, there's some unfinished business, so I think our guys understand that there's still four more steps to take.
We're taking it to the next round. Let's go, Bruins!
We got this!
Game one tonight at TD Garden. We are live from the Star Market broadcast booth at Boston Sports Grill with Bud Light today. Here all day. Felger Maz taking over at 2 o'clock. They take you up until 7 p.m.
Oh, extended. Nice.
Extended Felger and Maz leading you into an extended Bruins pregame.
That's nice.
With a puck drop tonight at the Garden after 8 p.m. I can tell you.
How long after 8 p.m., Beetle?
It will happen at 8:23. Your puck drop tonight is at 8:23 p.m.
It's getting busy down here, too.
Yeah, the crowd is slowly but surely building.
Long day drinking.
You're on Canal Street.
Long day drinking in the sun.
Zoe's itching. He's getting itchy. That's a good. It's just such a great day.
What would you plan? Like, really, if you're coming down Four Buddies, when would you start?
Now? A half hour?
See you guys.
Half hour ago?
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. We would love Jeremy.
You want to go talk to him?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. Go talk to him.
Yeah.
You go talk to him. Hardy's going to get us our headlines. When we come back, Tom Brady wishes the Bruins well with a video.
Oh.
We'll have that for you and more on Tom Brady and more of your calls as we get set for game one of the Stanley Cup Final.
Why didn't he just have the team go over to his house? That seems to be the way he likes to, you know, do his communicating lately.
Yeah, we'll do all that next.
Okay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the Stanley Cup Finals. Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill are the only place for the local call of the game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from the Star Market broadcast booth at Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street with Bud Light today. Tom Brady wishing the Bruins well. He posted a hype video. And I'll tell you, his production quality is pretty damn good. What do you think he does? Do you think he's up late at night on his MacBook using the iMovie?
iMovie, probably.
Yeah, doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
What's interesting is we were...
Think his kids help him?
We were at a Warrior a couple months ago, and this is where they started to lay some of the initial footage down, you know, bringing his filming team, the film crew, in to sit down with Char and those guys. That was prior to the Patriots on their Super Bowl.
And, you know, he's a micromanager. Brady's a micromanager. Hey. He's usually there checking the lighting, making sure things look good.
Absolutely.
Setting up the cameras. So here's the final product. Have a listen.
We are shaped by our environment. Molded by our decisions. We are made from triumph and failure. Pain and glory. But we remain determined. Because in Boston, we expect more. We set the bar high and fight for every inch to get over it. Here, the destination is part of the journey. And we're not done yet. We've been here before, and we're still here. We are made for this.
Ooh, that's pretty good. The footage is, it's good. Split screens, triple screens, single screens. Old stuff from Bobby Orr's days, you know, to the current stuff, to when the Bruins won, to when they lost. And then Char and him at the end. Two of the elderly statesmen.
Yeah, the elder statesmen.
It's got a bit of a
old guys.
It's got a bit of a Gotham Chopra feel to it, doesn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. Just in terms with the in terms the of the voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah, the boom.
The boom, boom.
Boom.
Well, it's Chopra's people, boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
The boom.
Boom.
I'm sure he looked it over.
Boom.
I just like the way that guy talks.
Yeah, it's
Could you sit there?
Yeah,
couldn't you talk to him all day? Like,
boom. Gotham? Oh, yeah.
His ability to hold you.
It's pretty good. I probably was working on that all weekend over at the house in Brookline in between throwing sessions with Julian Edelman and N'Keal Harry.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I thought N'Keal Harry said he didn't. He hasn't even heard from Brady. Last week, he's, you know, it's interesting. I haven't.
So this happened over the weekend.
Social media.
N'Keal Harry was seen in a post at the house in Brookline with Brady. Did N'Keal Harry say that last week? I actually didn't hear that comment.
He said it during, when he was getting better throughout the course of the OTAs and the throwing sessions.
And someone
feels like
said,
he's getting better every day.
And someone said, "Oh, have you talked to Brady?"
He said, "Only through social media, acknowledgement. That's I've had no contact with him." So,
and
somebody told me
Nikhil
Harry was supposed to go home and see the grandparents, and he didn't make it home this weekend. So he's been around.
Okay,
a little extended stay in Brooklyn.
Who does that reflect well on this weekend? Does that reflect better on Tom Brady or Nikhil Harry? Who looks better out of that?
Harry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The rookie does. Nikhil Harry looks better. Nikhil Harry had plans with his family.
You want me to throw?
Sure. And then at last second, Tom Brady, who doesn't want to go to OTAs and is working on his own schedule, calls up Nikhil Harry and says, "Would you like to come to my house?" And Nikhil Harry says, "Absolutely. Let me cancel my plans." Yeah, I'll work extra this week. No
sure.
problem.
Yeah.
I have everything to prove and everything to earn at this point. No problem. I will be there.
Could you imagine that?
That reflects well on him.
Could you imagine that as a rookie? You get drafted here, and obviously you know who you're going to go throw with. Then you pull up to the front gate, and then that's really, it's not a locker room where you're going to meet him in with the other teammates to sort of help be that buffer. Imagine, like, what did she say? "Hello, come on in. Take your shoes off, please." You know? Just that, being able to deal with that. Well, are we going to go throw in the backyard? Just, okay.
It's so striking as we sit here, before game one of the Stanley Cup
Let's
tonight.
Get the kid nervous.
Where the Bruins talk about team, and, there's no talk of rookies. There's no talk of singling anyone out. Meanwhile, Tom Brady not going to OTAs, but I'm going to have my bestie over throw a few balls. And the one other guy, it just goes to show
because
you.
Because he was a first-round pick.
There's more than one way of going about it.
Because he was a first-round pick.
Means he's going to play.
I mean, I applaud.
If he was a second-round pick, does he get the invite over?
No.
Nope. He doesn't.
This kid's going to play.
If he was a third, fourth, fifth, no, he doesn't. The only reason he got an invite over to the house is because he was picked in the first round of the draft.
And yet it works.
Oh, we'll see if it works.
Now, I think it's safe to say at this point Tom Brady has been doing certain things for a certain way for a long time. For him, it works. There's more than one way of doing it. Different sports, sure. Okay. Different attitudes, yes, absolutely. And you want to applaud the Bruins one and turn your nose up at the notion that, doing it any other way is foolish and is going to create divisions within a locker room. But, no, apparently that's okay. You could do it that way, too. Just a couple of guys.
And how about
the only two I'm going to be throwing the ball to anyway?
How about just the
Bronx gone here.
How about the quick, just the publicizing of the throwing? How fast could they get those photos up on Instagram and Facebook?
Boom, boom, boom.
The photos of Brady throwing to Nikhil Harry with Edelman in the backyard.
I thought it was kind of an odd PR
were
decision.
Put up on Facebook and Instagram, I'm guessing, within an hour of them being out there.
Does he do anything just off the cuff in terms of his social media postings? Or do you think these things are
somewhat planned?
Or vetted, maybe, is another word.
I like how they slid.
No, but in the same week that you've got the first-round draft pick saying, the first-round draft pick receiver, and is that the first time they've drafted a first-round receiver in Tom Brady's time here?
Yeah.
Yeah. First time ever they invest in a first-round pick. I know he was 32nd, but still.
Yeah,
still
Dion
a first-rounder.
Yep.
Still a first-rounder who says, I haven't talked to the quarterback other than a couple social media, a couple of tweets here and there. That's all. I don't know the guy. Never met him. He's not here at OTAs. I'm here, but he's not. I've never met my quarterback. All of a sudden, it's get him over to the house in Brookline. We'll get the pictures up on social media.
The best part is
that's what happened here over the weekend.
Interesting timeline.
Yeah, title, it is. That's how it went down.
The title of the post and what was written there, a family,
team,
a family affair.
We're meant to be here. Go Bruins.
He's part of the family now. You got Edelman. You got the kid. You got the dog. You got Brady. Uncle Tom's there. Oh, we'll slide Nikhil Harry's picture in as the fourth picture under family affair.
No, and Zdeno Chara, who will never use the word rookie. Who can't even bring himself to utter the word rookie. And then Brady.
And then 15 minutes later, Tom Brady posts a picture and said, look at this rookie piece of crap. I threw the peasant a bone by him.
Stop it.
I didn't invite
Brady's,
him over.
Brady's never done that either.
He had a hood thrown over his head, thrown in the back of a van, and driven to my house so he can't do it again on his own. But still, I let the piece of crap in here, see if he can catch the ball, and then I'll send him away.
Now, the truth is the throwing lasted 5 minutes, just enough to get the photos. And they threw him back in the van, drove him back home, and that's the last you'll see of Tom Brady until training camp.
Hold still, we need portrait mode. We need portrait mode for one shot. Okay, have him take his shoes.
Do you think she broke out the guitar and sang the thank you for coming to my house?
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for stopping by.
Get to keep
just long enough to get the photos.
Hope he keeps
now
slippers.
Get out, you rook. Get lost. Who do you think you are?
Probably make him take his shoes off, but then put those little booties on and then, over his socks.
And then, like, Edelman's playing the good guy, like, Tom, all right, Tom, relax, relax, relax. Okay, all right. Okay, come on. You don't have to go overboard. Relax, relax. Throw him a couple passes. He's a good kid. He's a good kid.
Now we got the shot. He's good.
Bye. Thank you. We're stopping by.
Oh. Oh, right up the spine. Oh.
Goodbye, goodbye. Ooh. Goodbye, goodbye. Kenny in Derry, New Hampshire, has been hanging on. I want to get to Kenny. Go ahead.
There you go. Hey, what's happening,
hey,
bro?
Kenny, thanks for hanging on.
Thank you. I'm just trying to get a little feedback on the refereeing tonight.
Okay, Judd Surratt was on with us earlier. And he said these guys call tight games.
Call the tight games to this point in the playoffs.
Two experienced referees.
A lot of penalties.
I have no problem with that, but as long as it goes both ways.
Exactly.
You know, follow me? You know they call it on
I follow.
I would have a problem if they only called penalties on the Bruins.
What do you
And I want to say another thing. I mean,
yes.
My opinion, I mean, I've been a Bees fan all my life. I think if we get out, we score the first goal, that crowd is going to be jumping. I think they'll be fine, the Bees. That 10-day, you know, 10-day without being playing, I think we'll be all right. They score that first goal, that crowd is going to be booming.
First goal.
Yeah.
Score the first goal.
Place will be jacked.
All right.
So that's the second call we got today about how jacked you're going to be tonight and how loud. We already had one from Mark in Medford who's going to the
Fisherman's Club.
And that place will be jumping. He said he's going to lose his voice tonight.
You like stuff to watch for and to wait for, though.
Yeah.
Right, when you're watching these games?
Yes.
Judd gave it to us early. Bruins score first tonight. See if Bennington starts
cracks.
To crack.
Yeah.
See if he starts to melt.
It was like that with Anderson. Second you get one with Anderson in that series, you know?
Yeah.
Took a while, but... Yeah. Boom, one. Yeah. Next thing you know, you got three goals in a period. You're like, okay, we got them. Boom. And they said, you know, boom. Yeah. Yes. Right. Bit more.
All right.
Like vigor.
Mm.
Okay.
Very good.
Nice.
Very, very good. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Zolak and Bertrand from Canal Street. As we get ready for game number one, more of your calls. We're getting ready for Blues and Bruins. More of it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Star Market booth at the Boston Sports Grill on Canal Street. Sponsored by Bud Light, Zolak, and Bertrand. It's the Stanley Cup Finals on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
What? The music. Kings of Leon. Death. Leon.
617-779-0985. You know, something bad happens when you hear that music. Something bad is typically going on.
That poor band.
Why?
Because it's just like that. Your music is tagged to that. Like bad things
this,
happen.
Yeah, no, just that one piece
well,
of
just
sound.
With our,
for
show,
us,
yes.
For our,
yeah,
show.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The Red Sox have just made a move. The Red Sox have placed Dustin Pedroia on the 60-day injured list. And Dustin Pedroia is apparently talking with Alex Cora and
Dave Dombrowski
at this hour, and all three of them are going to speak at approximately 1:45 this afternoon. So less than an hour from now, Cora, Pedroia, and Dave Dombrowski are going to talk, and I don't know what they're going to say. But Pedroia suffered another setback over the weekend, and he felt something cranky in his knee. I mean, we've been through this so many times. There have been so many setbacks. Alex Cora said over the weekend, it's another red flag. That's a quote. It's another red flag was his direct quote.
Well, the knee's not going to get better, okay?
There is no getting better at this point if you're asking us and if you're asking them, because Dave Dombrowski has pretty much said that.
And stop with the calls and the tweets and the texts about, well, you guys don't understand. He wants to play, so he's getting his money regardless.
Yeah, it's not about the
okay?
money.
It's not about the money.
So Pedroia played 6 games this year with the big league club. Re-aggravated the knee back on April 17th. We're going back a month and a half now. He went back on the injured list a day later. Played 5 games for Portland at the start of May. That was May 2nd through 9th. He played 5 games in there. He stopped the rehab in that period of time due to soreness then. And then he, again, is having a rehab that is being halted yet again. And so, I mean, where do you go? Where do you go from here? If it just keeps being an issue, I don't know. And now it's 60-day injured list for Pedroia, which means, more time away. And I don't see this ending well for him. And maybe that they're going to know that and acknowledge that today when they go to the podium and say that. So that's going to happen next hour.
Well, this is not of the norm, meaning, okay, you have another injury, you have another setback, and you sit down with the manager and the GM publicly. So I would not expect good news, but it's not for us to speculate here before letting those three speak about it first. He's obviously got a bad knee. The GM has stated that over a year ago, that it's not going to get better. It's about pain management for him. He's done numerous things to help attempt to alleviate the pain, appreciate the effort to do that, to want to play. But at some point, it's about, it could be quality of life for him. And then you hear the stories about him reaching out to guys like Jerry Remy about, hey, how are the floors in your house? That I think I may have to change, my tiling on my flooring in my house because it sort of drags the foot a weird way. It makes my knee feel funky. That's a red flag. That would be a red flag prior to this red flag. Problem is, I think you've had 3 red flags in a row here this past month. So now I think they have to sit down. They got to address it.
Yeah, after a while.
60-day might be minimum.
After a while, you know.
You can't be playing with the weekdays.
But the problem spots and the red flags, at some point it becomes, okay, this is no longer a workable, let's do this and see situation.
Because you obviously care about the player. I mean, he's meant so much to the team. Cora's played with him. He's friends with him. Kid's going to get paid well regardless. It's not about the money. It's baseball. Your knee falls apart, you get paid, people. Appreciate him wanting to play, but at what point do you hurt the team?
Just to anybody else, a lot of other players, you would question whether or not he's doing everything he can to get back and play. How much of this might be, kind of starting to feel. You never, ever, ever would question that about him. So he's doing everything he can. It's just a question of, it's just physically not possible.
So we'll let you know what comes out of that, but that's going to happen next hour. They will address the media at 1:45 p.m. That's going to happen. Don't know what will be said. Could just be they're going to shut it down indefinitely. Could be that it's a retirement. It could be anything from, hey, we're shutting it down, we're taking a step back, to I'm retiring. Could be any of those things.
I don't think you're going to get retirement.
I don't think you are either.
I think they're going to say, hey, it's the best for me to get away from it right now for this time span. We're going to address it then, and this could potentially be the last attempt. I don't think you're getting a retirement today. I think we're going to give it one more shot here. One last serious shot. No pun intended. Probably shooting some stuff in there, too, as we speak.
I don't think you'll end up getting the retirement today. I don't think you will.
Yeah.
I think what you'll get is we're shutting it down for now.
We can't do that. It's not fair to him. It's not fair to the team for the next week to 2 weeks. We're going 60 days, and we're going to readdress it then. Maybe for the last time.
617-779-0985. Hardy, we'll get you caught up on headlines. We'll go right back to your calls on the Bruins.
Okay.
And continue talking about game one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.